welcome to Two-Legged Tie. I'm Eric.
I'm Augustus.
And unfortunately, Martin isn't with us due to complicated issues that he will have to explain to you at a later time. Today, our home leg is discussing just a general catch-all with regard to Rovers in the coming season and kind of looking back at last season and kind of just trying to prepare ourselves mentally for the season to be.
2014 obviously was our first year following the Rovers and following what they do. I mean, and we had known the Rovers had been in existence for a number of years before we had got involved, but the long and tortured story of the Coopers getting involved and thus breaking into the barrel of the boarding crew is basically Nathan had emailed us and said, "We got this team over here. We'd love for you all to come out." And I said, "Okay, that's fantastic. Let's go for it." And
it's more football, right?
It's more football. It's more, a little bit more traveling. You know, I would always been kind of wanting to go outside of the city limits a little bit. And I don't remember a time where I went over to a Rovers game and didn't have fun.
Oh, we had a ball.
We had, I mean, that was fun for me to do, just to be over there and rooting for those kids, basically.
Oh, yeah.
They are kids.
Compared to us old men, yes.
Yeah. When you're like the oldest person there except for the parents, it kind of grates on you. But, you know, it was a fantastic, fantastic experience, and I can't wait to do it again. I think there are only a couple crossover dates with the big club and where I'm going to have to basically flip a coin, you know, to make a decision on who I'm going to on that day. But those, I think there's only two of those. The rest of the days, the Rovers will be playing, I believe, either like the day before or the day or immediately after Louisville City. So, I mean, I plan on making it just about every home game humanly possible, because I expect that I'm going to have just as fun a time as I did last year.
I hope we draw more people. Because that was one of the things that was fun for us last year, too, was the fact we got to kind of try out with regard to kind of establishing a presence in terms of supporters there.
Right.
It was a great dry run for just creating some sort of an atmosphere. And doing the Guard of Honor before and after was one of my favorite parts, I'm sure it was.
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, we just did that. It wasn't one of those things where we planned it out to do it. We just said, "Hey, you know what would be awesome? How about we clap them on the field? How about we clap them off?" And we did it every game.
And we will do it again.
We will do it again. And the guys really loved it. Who was it that came over to us and said, "Can we take you guys back home with
us?" I think that was Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina was like, "Can we take you guys back home with us?" So, he's like, "If you pay us." That's about the only way we're doing this. But, you know, it is highly unlikely, you know, outside of a team like St. Louis, where your PDL team is highly supported outside of your families. And so for us to do something for those guys is increasingly important, you know, not just for, you know, them, but for the community to say, "Hey, look, there is support outside of just the people that are blood related here for this sport and for this team." And we'd hope, you know, for everyone listening to this, if you happen to live in the area, or if you, even if you don't happen to live in the area, that you come and join us, because we have some big things planned for what we're going to do as far as supporting this team coming up next year. How I'm going to afford it is still up in the air, but
you'll have to auction off a kidney.
I got to, whatever. Yeah,
so you only need one.
Yeah. Probably give my liver off too.
Don't need that. Maybe some onions and some bacon.
Fava beans, a nice Chianti.
Yes.
You know, but I hope that everybody listening to this is, if you don't live in our area and can't support the Rovers, find your own local PDL team.
Oh yeah.
Support these guys, because it's very difficult for a lot of them to get up in a spring season. You know, spring, summer season, when most of them aren't exactly, you know, I know in all the colleges are now beginning kind of a somewhat hybrid summer season where they're going out and playing a whole bunch of friendlies. But, you know, for some of these kids, this is their shot. You know, this is what they do to make them look, you know, presentable, for lack of a better term, to, you know, college coaches and perhaps even pro coaches. So go out and support them, because they're busting their butts out there, you know, and at the very least, you should be able to say, hey, even if you don't make it, you got people that have your back. And you'd never really know how much that means to somebody. You know, saying, hey, somebody's got you.
Well, think of the other important thing, too, that I think was one of the lessons that you and I learned with regard to Rovers was those players are a lot more accessible than, say, Louisville City or even above, because you're right there within spitting distance of them at any given time. So you can go up there and you can talk to them before and after the match. You can get them in between.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of develops that it's sort of, as I've equated it before, it's lower division European football. It's, you know, your park grounds with five people standing and a dog off in the corner, you know. And that's part of the fun of it, is the intimacy of it all.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And really feeling like you actually can affect the outcome in terms of your presence and the sheer amount of noise and obnoxiousness you create, as you and I very well demonstrated.
Yeah, how many times did we get cautioned? Was it twice?
There was once that I remember where we were told after the fact that the officiating crew had put us on censure. And
good is it to tell somebody after the game is over that they're on censure? It's not like you're coming back.
And you and I both said something effective when we found out that we were doing something right. We were like, oh, good, let's continue.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a terrible, terrible match, that match.
That match was yeah, we're not going to... I can't say the words that I want to say about the quality of the refereeing in that match, which is why we said the things that we said. One that really sticks out in my mind was the last match of the season where we had one of the... I think it was, what, two or three of the parents of the opposing team that had
Cincinnati.
Come out. Oh, Cincinnati, yeah.
Yes.
Come over and basically say, if you call my son soft again, I'll bleep, 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 bleep. And we said, how about you sit your bleep, bleep down and shut up, because this is our turf, not yours. And needless to say, it wasn't, it was kind of tense. Luckily, no police were called or anything. Just everybody sat and was a little bit more respectful, but...
I thought the best part of that whole thing was after razzing that kid for the entirety of the first half for doing some pretty dirty things.
Yeah, I mean, he went in high on two of our guys.
Went in high on two of our guys. Anytime anyone did anything he didn't like, he was in their face.
Yeah, and crying to the ref every 15 seconds about fouls on him. Dude, shut up.
And then,
play the game.
And then, you know, the second half, he's on the far side, so we don't get to have nearly as much fun with him.
Yeah.
But
I so was tempted to just run over to the other side.
You remember what happened last time you did that?
Yeah. Almost got thrown out of UofL Stadium.
We don't want that.
Granted, I to UofL's, I guess, what their discretion, I was yelling obscenities the entire way down.
At the referees.
So, I mean, I can understand why they would feel that it would probably be necessary to give me a warning in that sense. So it was my fault, but the ref shouldn't have called that offside. He's a piece of... Okay, we're not going to say it.
That is in the past now. But, you know, that's one of the things that I think that kind of... Maybe that would be worth discussing is, you know, what you would expect going into a Rovers match as a part of the boarding crew, what you'll encounter with us. We are loud... Tyrone on multiple occasions said that one of his favorite things about us was we said the things he couldn't say.
Oh yeah.
And he could hear us very clearly, you know, pushing his boys on, and that was one of the things that he thought was a fantastic addition with having us there.
Oh yeah. I mean, any good support is a fantastic addition to a team. I mean, it doesn't matter what they are, whether they're, you know, the top MLS team or they're an MPSL, which is below the PDL, I believe, in the pyramid in U.S. soccer. I mean, good support trumps just about everything except, you know, physical skill.
Yeah, and good support will carry you through the lean times, as I know we did carry those guys through a couple of very questionable lean times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they didn't have the greatest of records last year, but it's not about records at the PDL. It's about...
But they had that nice little 5-game unbeaten streak there in the middle of the season.
Oh yeah,
where they were.
I mean, when they were at home, I think they only lost one game at home.
Yeah,
and every other game was either a win or a draw, obviously. But I mean, they fed off us, and we fed off them.
Oh geez, yes.
And that was what we we aspired to do when we agreed to say, hey, we want to be a part of this. We wanted to go over there and say, hey, look, we want to support you guys because, well, two reasons. One, as of right now, as of the time of 2014, you were the only game in town.
Yes.
And two, because you deserve it. And, you know, how many kids outside of colleges, when they go out and play for these teams to, you know, the teams in the Brazils and the Argentinas or even someone in the England's, when you go down the ladder and you start talking about like the Blue Square North Conference,
or go below that, go to the Ryman League, go to the Evo Stick Premier,
and
just tumble down the pyramid. Yeah, as it
when
were.
You go farther and farther down, you're literally playing for you and your folks,
and the random guy with his dog in the corner.
Exactly, and you're playing on fields that are not exactly the greatest, and you've got refs that are not exactly the greatest. But
and you have no stands, and all the field is lined by rope separating the supporters from the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. You've probably got a little fencing.
There's a lot of grounds in England, at least, and I'm not sure about South America, where the only thing that separates the players on the pitch from the fans is just a rope, a lined rope.
Yeah. We are lucky enough that we've got fencing around.
We do have fencing.
We have fencing at our ground. But, I mean, the chances, I mean, of people that are at that low level playing in front of a crowd, pretty much unheard of. And the fact that we're out there doing it, that makes me happy personally. But it also makes them happy to know that what they're doing is not just loved by the people that are blood related. It's loved by the people that just love the game.
Yes, and that is one of the other things that, you know, I think that is lost on the supporters of the bigger clubs is in going out and supporting the smaller clubs like the Rovers. It's a very passion driven support. You have to love the game. And you have to be open to loving this team of basically misfits.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were. They were a team of misfits. And
well, I wouldn't go.
Affectionately speaking, misfits.
Misfits is, yeah, it's a little bit, has a little bit of a negative connotation. But, it's basically the roster is a bunch of guys that, you know, for the most part, some of them are in college, some of them are not, some of them have been a part of the Rovers Academy. They're a bunch of guys that get stuck together. Literally about 2 months before, if that. And they're told to go out and perform. Quite honestly, the fact that any of them can pull it off is a minor miracle. For people like myself who love the game, why wouldn't you go support these guys? Because they're putting their heart out on the pitch every single game day. And it's just it's hard not to appreciate that kind of hard work that goes into these.
And it's hard not to appreciate their sort of the sort of chip on their shoulder of having something to prove.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There are some that it's a lot more obvious with, obviously carrying that chip on their shoulder. There's some who for some reason feel like they deserve some sort of special dispensation. You get the sort of great melange of egos that come with football. And it's kind of a nice microcosm, if you will, in terms of seeing kind of the way that you encounter the personalities and the egos at bigger clubs.
If you've got an ego going to the PDL, man, you've got a lot to learn there, kiddo.
But at the same time, if you think you're special and you think that things should come to you, you're going to play that way at any level, whether you're a child or you're an adult.
True, true.
And, you know, you get the nice broad spectrum. And that's part of the fun of that, too, is you get to see sort of the polishing off in terms of overall skill, as well as the sort of the seminal portions of the character in terms of their demeanor on pitch, especially when it comes to playing in a more professional style as opposed to the collegiate or academic style that is common here in the U.S.
I will say this, the collegiate style is getting a little bit better, you know, with coaches like Caleb Porter coming up through Akron and Ken Lola here at home. the collegiate style is getting a little bit better. Obviously, they're going to need to be some rule changes to the way the collegiate system works. They're going to have to get rid of that countdown clock and the subs anytime kind of measures. But I think those are a long way away. But
and that's what and therein lies the value of something like the PDL is it's actual you're playing by the way you actually play professionally in terms of time and substitutions and everything else. So it's a great ground in terms of kind of proving oneself.
Right.
And therein lies also the fun of going and supporting it because you get to see people who are really unaccustomed to playing in that sort of strenuous environment, playing in that sort of strenuous environment and usually being gassed by about 65 minutes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't remember how many times. Well, I mean, we know our good friend Robbie Tarver ran himself on the ground.
Ran himself ragged.
And I mean, but 60th minute, it was like, oh, here's the Robbie sub.
But at the same time, you can't compare heart like that at any level.
Oh, definitely not. And of course not.
That's the great thing about being in an amateur. You're playing for love more than anything. And you're playing for the hope of being seen, obviously. You know, every now and again, you saw gentlemen from Louisville City. I think they were there two or three times.
Coach O'Connor and Wayne Stopenal were there at least twice. But obviously, we were paying attention to what was happening on the field, not was in the stands, but I know for a fact they were there, yeah.
But that's part of the fun and part of the charm is, you know, you get to see these kids who are just going out there giving their all, like you said before, and hoping for a break.
Yeah.
And that's part of the fun. I mean, that's the allure is see these kids before they get big. I know Martin and I have discussed that in the past. I know that a couple of other people and I have discussed that in the past. And this is kind of why we're hoping to draw more people out this season.
Yeah.
Because we want to, with a new coach and with an entirely whole new schematic, basically, we want to make as much noise and bring this team success as close. Yeah, I mean,
ultimately, we want soccer to succeed in this area. You know, and that is a combination of not just the big club in Louisville City, but also the Rovers. You know, we want our little section of Kentuckiana to basically become the next soccer hub. That's what we want ultimately, and that requires a lot of help, and that requires a lot of people. We want people to come out. Will you necessarily see the next Messi out there? Probably not. The chances of you seeing the next American superstar, or then even the next American journeyman, are high at the PDL level, because a lot of our guys. I mean, obviously, we talked about Andrew Farrell last week. Who else is like Chris Wondolowski, I believe, came through the PDL system when he was coming through. So there's so much talent there that you do yourself a disservice by not coming out and supporting these kids.
Well, yeah, exactly. I couldn't have put it better. Come out and see. Come out and join the fun. Hopefully, we'll have a bang-up season this year.
I hope so.
Get a lot of noise, and maybe we can knock off the reigning champs at home. I'd love that.
is that your Keegan speech there? I'd love it if we beat them. I'd love it.
I would, yes.
That's okay.
Yes. We've gone to Kevin Keegan now. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Old school.
Of course. We will be back in just a moment with our away leg.
Tune in to Two-Legged Tie for all the madcap antics of the boarding crew and all the news that is news about the Derby City Rovers.
Hello, welcome back to Two-Legged Tie. This is the away leg, and we're going to discuss the CONCACAF Champions League final. This is the champions.
I don't actually know the Champions League music for CONCACAF.
Well, I don't think we actually have music for Champions League.
It's Queen.
I'm pretty sure we do, but no one cares. We're just all going to sing the one that UEFA uses.
It's Jack Warner standing on top of skulls of all of the people he displaced, singing something, I don't know, probably Caribbean Queen, Billy Ocean.
Singing I Love Money. That's what he's singing.
There you go.
Well, that's Chuck Blazer, not Jack Warner.
There you go.
Actually, both of them have done that. Both of them have been indicted, haven't they?
Yes.
Oh, man. Good thing corruption doesn't just stay on the other side. Anyway, obviously, well, not so obviously if you haven't been paying attention, but we have for the, was it third time? Well, fifth time in MLS history, an MLS representative in the CONCACAF Champions League final. And it is Impact de Montreal. My horrible French accent aside, they are a club that is obviously in Montreal, Canada.
Started as a lower division club.
They
kind of went the route of Orlando City.
Yeah, they did go the Orlando City route, you know, working their way up and up and up and up and finally getting into the MLS. I believe it was 2011?
Did they get in? 11 or 12, one of the two.
One of the two. Because I think it was 12, because Omar Chagallo was their number one pick, and he's done nothing. Obviously, from a domestic side, we're proud of this.
Even if they are Canadian.
Yeah, you know, they're our hat.
They are our hat, yes.
We are proud of Montreal Impact's run. Honestly, they probably should have been knocked out a while ago, and they've just managed to hold on just enough to make it happen. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, even in the big UEFA Champions League, clubs go through on away goals, having made it happen. You know, just PSG this last cycle coming through, beating Chelsea on away goals. Didn't probably look like they should have lost multiple times throughout that tie and managed to hang on. So, well, fair play to them. And fair play to Montreal. Went in, got a, I believe, was it a 2-0 home win?
That was the away.
Okay, so they got the 2-0 away win, which
both of their victories advancing quite a bit ahead in the knockout of both men on away goals.
They got the 2-0 away win. It was
Pachuca.
And then Aljuwent.
Oh, Juanes.
I stopped taking Spanish classes.
That's fine. I'll do the pronunciation.
20 years ago. The
Ala Juanes.
There you go. Thank you. That tie, you know, 4-2 at home to go through on away goals, probably shouldn't have happened. Yet there it is. It's quite amazing what they ended up doing. Twice.
Yeah. Where are they right now in MLS?
They're not that good, if I remember correctly. I mean, hang on. Let me pull up.
We're having a comparative run to Chelsea when they won Champions League, or Liverpool when they won Champions League in 2005, in terms of relative league position being middle of the pack.
Yeah, that 2005 team. Obviously, I love them so much, but let's see here.
And then, of course, I guess while you're looking that up, we can discuss their opposition, Club America of the Liga MX,
who probably is going to run away with this. I'm not going to lie.
Who I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow find themselves in the Copa Libertadores next season, given their standing in Mexico right now.
The Club America goes through these runs where they're either middle of the pack or they're outstanding. And it happens every 2 or 3 years. And they seem to be back on their one of their outstanding runs again. The game against Herediano. I'm probably screwing their name up again. I apologize. Herediano,
yes.
Okay. So they go down by 3-0 at Herediano. And you're looking at this and you're thinking, well, this tie is done. Usually if you tell me a team's taking a 3-0 lead into a second leg, you think, well, that tie's done. The chances of another team dropping 3 or 4 or 5, or in this case, 6, on them are very remote, especially when they've proven they couldn't do it before.
That was it. They scored 6 at the Azteca, wasn't it?
Yes, they did.
Which is a formidable enough ground to go in anyway.
Yeah. I believe it's relatively close to their normal home ground. I think
it is their home ground. Yeah.
You've got your home fans behind you. And if you haven't seen the second goal scored in that game, oof, that curler is picturesque.
Yes.
Picturesque. And it's one of those goals where you're just like, hang on, let me throw up to YouTube here and rewind that over and over and over.
It's one of the reasons why you watch football.
Oh, yeah.
It's for goals like that.
Oh, I mean, just gorgeous. Montreal, to go back to the point we were making, is currently sitting in dead last.
That's not encouraging for them.
I mean, 4 games played, 2 draws, 2 losses, a goal difference of -4.
But hey, they're in the final of the CONCACAF Champions
League. It's kind of like Real Salt Lake did when they made their run. They were sitting, like, next to last, and suddenly they're in the...
It might energize the rest of the season if they pull the hardware.
I doubt it.
You never know.
No, true. You do really never know.
Playing America, I would expect America to go out rough. They go out and they play physical, but they play very, very kind of fluid, gorgeous football within their physicality.
I expect America to do the exact same thing they did against Herediano, which is semi-park the bus away and then just open the floodgates at home.
Yeah. Muscle them off away. Yeah.
I mean, that's basically been the bread and butter of nearly every Mexican team when they play a United States team. Usually because...
Well, this isn't a United States team, though.
Well, yeah, this is a Canadian team playing in the United States League.
Yes. It should be noted, too, that the first leg of the final will be at the Estadio Azteca on the 22nd of April, so a week from Thursday. Then the following Thursday, the 29th of April, the return leg will be in Montreal at the Olympic Stadium, which should make for an interesting time.
Montreal.
Who seem to be better away. That could be a very interesting dynamic there.
Yes and no, because I believe they've sold out the Olympic Stadium in Montreal. The last figure I saw was, 30-something thousand tickets had already been sold about 24, 48 hours they had secured placement.
I was just thinking with regard to the fact that both of their knockout ties have basically been decided on away goals. So they're going into the Azteca playing America, who would prefer to go out and play a bit more of the open style at home, as opposed to kind of sitting back and waiting. It could make for a very interesting dynamic for a first leg.
Yeah. I mean, if Montreal can even get a somewhat favorable result, even if they go down like 2-1 or something like that.
Getting something to get started to take home, that'll be a big, big springboard.
If they get anything out of the Estadio Azteca, I think they might push on and win it. Honest to God. I mean,
if they can steal a goal, I think they could steal the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Their performance in the league is horrendous. But you say, hey, I'm going to rest everybody. I'm going to put
the kids out.
Put the kids out. Give them a run out. Yeah. Give them a run out against the MLS. This is the beginning of the season. This is clearly more important because if we get the CONCACAF Champions League winners, we go to the Club World Cup.
And that's a nice little payday.
That is a nice little payday.
You get to go to Japan.
And you get to go to a nice little vacation. Is it in Japan this year?
Yeah, they got the bidding because India dropped out.
Oh, okay.
A couple of other interesting things to note, Montreal being their first appearance in the CONCACAF Champions League final, as well as the first appearance by a Canadian club.
Which is, I guess a hand clap moment. I'm not going to hand clap because the mics will pick this up and then you'll be deafened.
The MLS, in its 20 years, has had 4 appearances in the final. You've had 2 winners, 2 runners-up. And comparatively, you have Mexico, who has sent teams that have won the CONCACAF Champions League or the old Champions Cup on 30 occasions and finished runners-up 15 times.
They got a bit of a pedigree down there in Mexico.
They do have a bit of a pedigree, but the fact that...
Granted, we've only had a league for, 20 years?
Yeah. The Liga MX has been around in some form since at least the 20s.
Yeah.
So, they've had time to establish themselves. You've got all sorts of really, really interesting kind of dynamics at work here. You've got the old guard and the new. Montreal is effectively new guard, with them being a relatively young professional franchise at that level, and B, being the first Canadian franchise to play at that level.
Right.
One of the things Martin had mentioned to me was the fact that Montreal had been prepping for both the Pachuca matches away and for the Alajuelense. I can't even pronounce it now. Thank you.
That was my fault. Sorry.
By going away 2 weeks before for their tie and training in those grounds and training in those areas to prepare for the environment.
Which is smart.
That's dedication.
For number one, for you to pull that off, especially the, I'm going to butcher the name again, Alajuelense. Whatever their name actually is.
Just call them Ala.
Ala, there we go. For you to do that, because those two ties happened right in the middle of the beginning of the MLS season. That is an incredible outlay of not only expenditures, but energy, which may be the reason why they're sitting dead last in the entire MLS. But you know what? If it pays off, it pays off big.
If it pays off, it's well worth it, because something to build from for next season or 5 years down the road. It's a great springboard.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I'm not 100% sure on the payoffs, but I think you actually get a considerable amount of money from FIFA for making that Club World Cup.
Yes, you get a sizable donation, as it were, from the FIFA coffers.
Yeah, they were to win that and get that donation right before the MLS mid-season transfer window opens up.
The rejuvenation that they could do to that squad in that window would be fantastic. What do you think? You want to call winner and score?
Club America is going to be the winner. I will say they will win 4-2.
4-2?
I think Montreal gets at least one goal each tie, each leg. And I think they draw at home, but once they go, I mean, that first leg, I think, is going to be like 3-1. And it's not even going to be close.
I still think that first leg is going to be the more fun one to watch.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be the most fun one to watch because it's going to determine whether or not anyone gives a crap about the second leg, obviously.
Well, considering that in both of their knockouts so far, they've scored two goals away.
Yeah.
Two goals away and against Pachuca, three away against Alajuelense.
And I don't want to discount those odds. Obviously, it takes a significant amount of skill to get to CONCACAF Champions League quarter and semifinals. But playing Club America in the Azteca with potentially 90,000 screaming, crazy Mexican fans.
And questionable officiating and ridiculously unwanted violence and everything else that marks that sort of environment.
And a just environment designed to see anyone from the northern border fail. I don't see them coming out of there with any more than just a goal to their name and some pride.
I see them stealing two. I see them getting one maybe between halftime and the hour mark, and possibly stealing another one deep into the last 5 minutes, if not into stoppage. I see them taking the...
You really see America switching off right before halftime and full time?
I see Montreal stealing. I really think that they could steal, given how they've been away this season.
It's fair.
3-2 aggregate, Montreal.
Really? You're calling for Canada?
Well, seeing as how that they too are a city with a bunch of French Canadians and the fleur-de-lis, if we want to go Louisville stuff.
To be fair, there are not too many Frenchies.
Québécois. Pardon me. I'd like to see the upstart take it.
Yeah. Obviously, dream scenario for us would be Louisville City sitting there this time next year, but that'd chances aren't zero.
That would be an interesting scheme as to how to work that away leg.
we start the season about 3 weeks early. That's how we do it.
So there you go. So I think that wraps it up for us.
Yeah, it does. It's been kind of fun.
Anything you want to say? Parting?
Number one, the season begins for the Rovers.
Home first match is May 22nd.
And it is at Worley Field, which is not that far off of...
It's off of 65. Yeah.
Almost at 64. I-65. It's a little bit confusing the first time you get there, but once you get the hang of where that exit is...
It's 65 and 131 Lewis and Clark Parkway.
Yeah, and once you're on Lewis and Clark, you literally just drive straight there.
You can't miss it.
You cannot miss it. There are gigantic lights. There'll be a screaming black guy with a mohawk. You can't miss it.
And a tall white guy.
Well, there are multiple tall white guys, but...
There you go.
How many screaming black guys with mohawks do you see?
Quite a lot, actually. But that's because I hang around the Extreme Park like a kid.
Oh, wow.
I kid, of course.
Okay.
We're still waiting to hear from Nathan with regard to the boarding crew season ticket package.
We hope to see that somewhere in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
He was looking at next couple weeks. We are looking forward to kit launch. We're looking forward to an event where we get to meet the team. Possibly a friendly. We're not entirely sure yet. We're excited for a lot of things to come. And it's going to be a really, really fun summer here.
We got songs. We got chants. We got everything.
You've got scurvy.
Oh, man. We are definitely doing that again. That was fun every time.
Every time.
Well, we'd like to thank you for listening to Two Legged Tie. My name is Augustus Waiters. You can reach me on Twitter at awaiters86. And you can reach me at augustusw86@gmail.com. Or you can reach me at thecooperslouisville@gmail.com, because I see them both.
And I'm Eric Major. You can find me usually through the Louisville Boarding Crew stuff. On Twitter, we are at Lou Boarding Crew. On Facebook, we are at Lou Boarding Crew, because I just fixed that recently. And you can hit us on the Gmails at louisville.boarding.crew@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time. Arr!
You be the personality, I'll be the pronunciations.
Okay.